going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. Going to be with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in the car as much. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices to listen in today. Use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your Tandy computer, your Betamax, your Nextel. Whatever your device is, just download it on something. You'll be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, give us a follow on our personal Twitter pages, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show reluctantly on the other side of the glass, as always, my guy Oren, at Oren Romaine. Good to see you two nights this week, Oren.
Not in a row, thank God. Just I had a day off in between.
Well, we will start to get more regular here as football season winds down. You know, so we'll get back into some, you know, Wednesdays and Friday. And again, we still got Hawks basketball and stuff like that that will get in the way. But you'll be seeing me plenty here. The other night when we did That's Life, our top 10 list was things we want to get done in 2024. And Oren said that he wanted to do more reading this year. He wanted to read more books. And so I was curious because I sent you some different selections of books. Did you get a chance to, you know, peruse some of the titles and stuff like that?
I wish I could share with the listeners these texts that John Chuckery has been sending me the past 3 days. Unfortunately, I don't know if Twitter is the appropriate platform rating-wise for the things that you have sent me with these book titles.
Well, look, again, I sent you a book called A Passion for Donkeys. I sent you a book, Little Bobby's Drunk Again. Here's from Roger Welsh. Everything I Know About Women I Learned from My Tractor. So there are others that I sent you the actual screenshots of the covers and stuff like that so that you know, you wouldn't get him confused.
Oh, no, I appreciate that you offered a lot of clarity as to this is the book and this is what it looks like.
Yes.
And this is the cover of the book. So I wouldn't get it confused. I mean, I, you know, if there's one thing I can thank you for, show gratitude for, John Chuckery, it was that. Yes.
Yeah. So listen, I'm a giver. I'm a giver.
I think you give too much, though, John.
Oh, okay.
I think you give too much.
Well, listen, can you ever give too much? I mean, you know,
in this case, yes, you can.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, we were reading through some titles the other night, so there's some of these titles on here we probably won't even get into, but I'm just trying to help a guy out. I'm trying to help out a friend, you know, in your spare time. There are some good titles in there that you can read, so you can peruse those at your leisure.
Yeah, I will be perusing those yes. Here's the thing, like normally, you know, like I'll share texts with people, like, hey, I got this funny text.
Mm-hmm.
I have told no one close to me has been told anything about. Like, I get these texts, and I almost have to read them in secrecy. So my wife's kind of like, who is he getting texts from? Like, I can't tell you. Like, I can't tell you just because I have to explain it to you. And then once I explain it to you, somebody else will know what's going on. And they'll be in on this, and that's one more person I don't want to know about this.
So you haven't shared any of the book titles?
Oh, God,
with her?
No. I've shared the book titles with no, like,
okay.
You've just shared them with our listening audience.
Yes.
So the folks out there in the city of Atlanta and beyond, you guys know what John Chuckery sent me. My wife in my own house, my inner circle.
Well, maybe she wants to read, too.
My wife likes to read. I can guarantee you, though, John Chuckery, these are not books. These are books that probably aren't going to make the bedside table in the house.
Well, yeah, because I can understand. Like, it's about a guy talking about everything he learned about women he learned from his tractor. So, but anyway, listen, I have more. I can.
Oh, I'm sure you are. I'm sure there is a bank of cartoon strips and horrible book. Titles, label, covers, all that stuff. Just on a folder that just says just daily Orin affirmations.
Yes. I mean, listen, I text you guests and different things like that, but I want to go deeper than that. I want to go beyond.
You know, shout out to Rick Caffey. Rick Caffey, a couple times a week, he sends out, like, you know, inspirational texts and quotes and things like that via email.
Yes.
I get those, which are like, oh, uplifting. And then. Mm-hmm. I get your text, and it's like brings me right on back down. It's balance.
What is the exact diametric opposite of anything that Rick Caffey sends you for inspiration? Is pretty much anything I send you.
Yeah, let's say like what's the sign? I break even. My emotions break even. I'm never too high, never too low, just right in the middle.
I sent you like six different books, and there were like three of the book covers. Then I sent you a text for guests that we want tonight, and then I sent you like three more book requests. So again, it's like the important, the meat of the matter is sandwiched in between all of the different books and stuff.
And that's
like
the
that.
Worst part about it, John, is that
you have to scroll
without
through it all.
Seeing all the other things around it. I can't ignore it. That's the worst part about this.
And again, maybe the worst thing you ever did was maybe the most harmless thing of all time, just saying, hey, I want to read more. You know, just the idea of, hey, I want to read more in 2024, and now it's turned into your personal Vietnam.
I'm glad, you know, of all the things I could have said I wanted to do more, maybe reading is the most innocent thing.
Right, right.
Because God knows if I said something else, what you would send me every day.
Well, listen, I know you're a Marvel fan, so we won't get into all of that.
Hey, you know what? What's on the show tonight, John Chuckery?
We will talk to our friend of the show, Joe Pat. We're going to do two things here tonight, Oren. We're going to be very fan-friendly with you, and we're going to be very Falcons-heavy as the season looks to wrap up the regular season. 12.6% is what the official Falcons playoff chance. Oh, by the way, they do have Oren a 0.1% chance to win the Super Bowl. So the betting odds to win the Super Bowl for the Falcons are at 0.1%. But it's 12.6% right now is the Falcons' playoff chance. Now, we'll talk to our buddy Joe Patrick coming up here at 7:40. We've got a question here that we'll take your phone calls on and things like that. So Falcons continue to prep for the Saints. And the only thing that scares me, and I say scares me, but the idea of is Taylor Heinicke going to play in this game on Sunday? Because he's battling that whatever, foot or ankle injury or whatever, and you know, he's been limited in practice. And I know Arthur talked about it at his press conference today. Was Taylor Heinicke at the press conference, or was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday he was spoken to the media. And look, he said he's battling through all the injuries and stuff like that. I think they're going to find a way to shoot. Because I don't think there's any way that Arthur, even if it's an injury, I don't think Arthur wants to go back to Desmond Ridder. I don't think he wants to go back to Desmond Ridder. Because, and I don't think it's, I don't, we'll talk with this to Joe. You know, I don't think it's as clear cut that Arthur Blank has made his decision. And this is sort of the same decision that was looming in what? After the 2014 season, right? Because that's when Mike Smith got fired after the 2014 season. Remember, that final game against Carolina was for the division. Remember, the Falcons, if they had beaten Carolina, that was a do-or-die game. If they had beaten Carolina, they would have been 7-9 and won the division that year. Hence, Carolina ended up winning the division at 7-9 that year. And I think they lost to the 49ers, I think, in the first round of the playoffs. So they ended up winning. They had the 7-9 record. That was Mike Smith's final year, final game. They got torched in that game. Like they got smoked in that game. So again, it's a similar situation that, you know, if you can find a way to win, and if Tampa, and I don't think Tampa's going to lose to Carolina, but if Tampa finds a way to lose to Carolina, how are you going to fire your coach if he wins a division and you have a home playoff game? Like, I don't think Arthur Blank is going to do that. We've already talked about the idea that Blank is looking for every reason imaginable to keep Arthur Smith. And you're not going to win the division. You're not going to have a team that wins the division. I don't care what the record is. They win the division, host a home playoff game against either Dallas or Philly. I don't think he's getting fired at that point. Now, they lose on Sunday and everything opens itself up. But I don't think a final decision has been made on the future of his coach yet, because there is a lot that is still up in the air because of where this team is. Not necessarily in a good way. You know, I guess maybe it's not so bad if you can win the division, but, you know, just the idea of there is a very flux situation that's in place. So we'll talk to Joe Patrick and we'll give some Falcons thoughts along the way here. Chris Sale was introduced to the media today. He did a Zoom call and officially had his Braves hat on. 2 years, $38.5 million. That's a good deal. Again, I said this the other night. If Chris Sale has any of the old Chris Sale in him, this is really shaping up to, and you don't need him for 30 starts. You don't need him for 25 starts. You can bring him back really slow. Really and truly, you need him for a month. You need him for a month. Now, we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show some more Braves baseball, because an interesting number from FanGraphs that's out there right now. And you probably wouldn't think that this was the case, but this is what FanGraphs, who, you know, is one of the best analytical, sabermetric, metrosexual sites, you know, as far as baseball stats go, whatever those terms are.
There is not anything associated with one of those terms in FanGraphs.
Oh,
John Chuck.
Well, again, so maybe they're not analytical. So maybe they're more sabermetric.
I don't want to repeat the word that you used.
It's a commonly used phrase. It's a commonly used word right now.
Sabermetrics?
No, metrosexual. That's commonly used.
That does not refer to anything that FanGraphs statistically.
It may be something that is embedded, you know, in there.
I don't think that's a stat that they measure in term it with current,
you know,
Major League Baseball
players. It's pounded in there. And what?
The all right, so you guys can't see this right now. It wasn't so much when he said that word.
No, I was shaking my sleeve. Yeah, he was shaking his sleeve
in emotion that. So, yeah, what about fan graphs, John Chuck?
Well, we'll get to that later on. We'll talk some fan graphs, you know, later on. Because it may surprise some people as to where the Braves rank in a certain category. That was a quality win all the way around for the Atlanta Hawks. And look, that's a team that Oklahoma City, you've got to outscore, and the Hawks found a way to do it. Jalen Johnson with a career high last night. Terrific game. Obviously, we talked with Lauren Williams the other night about this 8-game stretch where 6 of the 8 games coming up here are at home, and you've got to take care of home court. The Hawks were 4-9 at home going into last night. That's dreadful. And that's one of the things that has kept them in the, you know, play-in rounds and all that kind of stuff is because of how good they've been at home over the last couple of years. So it's been a bad start at home, bad start to the season, but that was a really quality win last night. Now, here's the thing. Now you got to turn right back around, and you've got another really good team. One of the real surprises, and this will be one of the road games, is Indiana. The Pacers have been outstanding this year. Halliburton, we talked about him multiple times on the show. He is one of the rising stars in the NBA this year.
He set a record. It was over a 2-game span. He had 40 assists and 2 turnovers.
I mean, he's
40 assists and 2 turnovers in 2 consecutive ball games.
I mean,
John,
he has been one of the real breakout stars. And he's been a good player, but he's really having a breakout season this year. And that will be a very tough matchup heading up to Indiana. But again, you know, at this time of the year, you got to figure some things out. And we talked about just take little chunks and stuff like that. By the way, we're 40% of the way through the season now. So now we're officially 40% of the way through the season. It's getting to where it's not early anymore. You know, it's not going to be long, that it's going to be halfway through the season, and it's going to go downhill very quickly, just as far as how the schedule rolls. And again, when you get into March, they're going to be spending most of their time on the road. Go look at the schedule for the Hawks. The end of February, starting in March, like it is just road, 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 road. And they've obviously not been good on the road. So that's why this 8-game stretch is so important. We have 6 of 8 at home. You have to find a way to win. And by the way, there are rumors out there that Atlanta United wants at least $30 million to keep Thiago Almada because they want to keep him. And there's floaters out there saying that the price is in excess of $30 million if you want him.
Yeah, he'll break that record that Miggy set a few years ago. Miggy was, what, the highest transfer fee out of here? Yeah, he'll break that record.
But it says they want to keep him. Like they're not going to give him away for fish heads and rice.
No, when you got a commodity like that, we've had Garth Lagerwey on the station before, and he talks about how this guy's really, really good, and the idea when you get these players like that who are really, really good, you want to make sure that the return on the investment is very high.
Would he be interested in some of my book titles?
Neither one of them. Thiago Almada or Garth Lagerwey. Okay. Neither one of them would be interested in them.
All right. 404-726-0929. Going to open up the phone lines to you. Who's been the 3 most impactful players for the Falcons this year? 3 most impactful Falcons players this year. 404-726-0929. We'll give my list, Oren's list. We'll take your calls as well. Chuckery hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Thursday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios with you Thursday night. A very rare Thursday night appearance. I don't think we've done Thursday night since before the NFL season started. Since game number 1. Obviously, opening night in the NFL was Thursday night. That's the last time we did a show was the week before that.
Yeah, I was on another show when that happened.
Yes. Yes.
Before they threw me out.
Do you think he'd like any of those books?
I don't know.
Oh. You could suggest it.
I mean, I don't have to talk to him.
All right, 404-726-0929. That is both our phone line and it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text thing. We're opening up the phone lines to you here as well. Asking the question, who's been the three most impactful Falcons this year? Now, I think the two easy ones are Jesse Bates and Chris Lindstrom, who, by the way, have both made the Pro Bowl this year. Jesse Bates has been outstanding. You know, he's the fan vote getter. He'll be in the running as far as first team. At worst, he'll be second team All-Pro, depending on who you want. Kyle Hamilton, Antoine Winfield, Jesse Bates, like one of those guys is going to be first team All-NFL. And then Bates will probably, at least at worst case, finish second team All-NFL. But he may end up with first team All-NFL, which is, by the way, a way bigger honor than Pro Bowl. All-Pro is what you want to be voted on. So I think that one's pretty easy. Lindstrom has been your most consistent, most steady player this season. And there were times early in the year when, you know, it was like, okay, he got all the money and is he playing well? But he has solidified himself as still the best interior offensive lineman probably in the league. I mean, I think Quentin Nelson and Chris Lindstrom are the best interior offensive linemen in the NFL. And I don't know that you want to use Pro Football Focus, whatever you want to use for a metric, those guys are arguably the two best interior offensive linemen in the NFL. The third one gets a little bit trickier, I believe. I'm going to say for my third one, and I know he's not played for a while, but I still think Grady Jarrett was one of the most impactful players. And if you look at what this defense has done after he was out, there was a gaping hole in this defense after he left. And that's impactful. And he was off to one of his best starts for his career. Like, he was having an outstanding season with Onyemata and everybody around him, Calais Campbell and everybody else, and Taquan Graham and everybody. Like, he was off to a great start. And you look at the numbers defensively for the team when he was there and after he got injured. Now, Oren, I'll ask you, who's your three most impactful for the Falcons this year?
Funny you mentioned Grady, because Grady is on my list as well. Just his importance when he was here, and then you've seen his importance since he's not been here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on my list one. I have Jesse Bates as well. Well, he just – I don't know if there's been a more impactful signing. Well, no, that's a little bit too – maybe I'm hyperbole there. But, like, just from what he's done to this defense and just – the money he's being paid is what the highest paid safety of all time. You look at it,
I think it's the fourth highest safety number in the league or something like that.
Yeah,
or all time or whatever it is.
It's worth it. Like, what he got paid was absolutely worth it for what he's come and done in the back half of that defense. My third guy, you lost Troy Anderson very early in the season, and Troy was the guy that you were counting on to play big snaps for you this year.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Landman snid in and almost seamlessly took over that spot. And you've gotten equal, if not better, play from Nate Landman than probably maybe Troy Anderson this year. So my third, because of what he's been able to do from an impact standpoint, being able to slide in and replace a starter in Troy Anderson, but throw Nate Landman on that list.
You know what's funny is if you watch the preseason, Nate Landman was outstanding in the preseason. Like, and to the point where it was like, okay, are we going to have a discussion or debate? Should we play Landman? You know, Troy Anderson was the kind of the de facto default starter. But Landman really was good in the preseason. If you watch the preseason games, he had really good games in all three games. And it was like, well, this guy maybe has got give us some depth and all that kind of stuff. Then obviously Troy Anderson goes down early. And Landman, to your like you just said, he has stepped in and he hasn't missed a beat.
He's got 100 tackles this year.
Yeah. He has not missed a beat. I mean, from preseason all the way through this entire regular season, he's not missed a beat. And that's, you know, again, for a guy that is a backup kind of player, right? Like let me put it like this. There's going to be a very interesting discussion about how, when Anderson comes back, the idea of Anderson, Caden Ellis, and Nate Landman, because that's been one of the real strengths of this team, has been their linebacker core, which has been obviously a disaster over the last couple of years. But you look, it's going to be interesting to see how those guys, those three guys specifically, will get used next year. Because, again, all three of those guys have performed well. You know, and I had my doubts about Caden Ellis. Again, he doesn't have the sack numbers, you know, this year, but he has been good. You know, Caden Ellis has been good, and their linebackers just in general have been pretty good. But it's going to be very interesting to see what Nate Landman's role is going to be when Troy Anderson gets back. Has he superseded Anderson? I mean, again, Anderson's a second-round pick, so he's going to get the benefit of the doubt in all of this. So we'll see what
Can
happens.
Can I say something, John, about
yes,
our two lists?
Yes, sir.
You know what both of our lists were lacking?
What's that? Well, quarterback.
Yeah, a lot of skill players on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Mike said Bijan Robinson, and I don't think Bijan has had a bad year by any stretch or anything
like
that.
He's going to finish with, what, 1,400 yards of
scrimmage
total
yards.
Offense? Yeah, scrimmage,
yeah,
yards,
scrimmage yeah. yards. Yeah, and look, again, I think it's – but, you know, he's – what? He has the third most fumbles for a non-quarterback in the NFL.
That's a problem you're going to have to address in the offseason.
He also has not been a very good pass blocker, and at times his route running has been very questionable. So, again, he's done a lot of great things for this team, but has it impacted us enough that we're winning games that we shouldn't be winning? I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. So, and again, that's not all on him, but I don't, you know, Pro Football Focus was thinking he would lead the league in rushing and all this, that, and the other.
Because you have the eighth overall pick, and by virtue of him being the eighth overall, like, he's going to be fed the football. Just because you have to justify taking a running back that high, and how you justify that is that you force feed him the football at will.
Did we have anybody who ran the football last year for us?
Yeah, we had a couple of guys.
Oh, okay. 404-726-0929. Let's start with
what you did there.
Huh?
I saw what you did.
No, listen, I'm just seeing it out loud. All right, Steve out in Marietta. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good evening.
Well, are you there?
Yeah. Can
okay.
You hear me?
Yeah, now I got you. Your phone had broken up, so now I got you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, enjoying your show. Very
Thank
intuitive.
You.
So you took two of my first thoughts, Jesse Bates and Chris Lindstrom, for obvious reasons. You know, I love the guys in the trenches that do well, because that's really where the game's won.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the numbers for Chris, not a lot of flashy statistics, but it's the ones that count, and he's doing great. And Jesse, not just for his play on the field, but his leadership and helping us the defense. So, my number three is I'm going to go contrarian here. Most impactful. This is not in a good way. I'm going to say Desmond Ritter. With the impact he had on our team this year was impactful in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, there are direct. Now, look, it's funny because there are direct losses that are because of Desmond Ritter. There are also direct wins because of Desmond Ritter. You know, Desmond Ritter has the four come from behind victories. That ties him with Jalen Hurts this year. He was number one in the NFL in come from behind victories this year. Whether it was Green Bay, whether it was Houston, he was number one in the NFL along with Jalen Hurts with four come from behind victories. Now, you can directly point to multiple losses that are directly on him as well. So when you say it's been a mixed bag, and certainly his impact, I can completely understand that. Because, again, impact isn't always a good thing, right? All right, let's go out to John out in LaGrange. What's going on, John?
Hey, Chuckery, man. I love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I wish you and Tribble would get together. Now, that would be a show.
You know, we've floated out the Falcons flyover, but we only want Orin to produce us if we do the Falcons flyover.
You can't
together.
Hear me back right now, John, but I'm screaming no.
No,
on top of
I heard
lungs.
You. I know I could hear you through the. I
no,
can
no,
hear
not you,
you
John. The yeah. John on the phone right
no,
now.
Yes, he was. Orin was screaming through the glass, and I could hear him clear as day because he wants nothing to do with Rob Tribble and I in producing the Falcons flyover.
I just want to know the last three books that he read that you recommended. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to go Grady. I'm going to go Bates. And I'm going to go Young Quay Shu. Koo Shu.
Well, it's I mean, again, he's had a good I know everybody's a prisoner of the moment. And, you know, he's had some misses, you know, here of late. But he's had another outstanding year. Like, again, there are the fact that we have not had to worry for like a decade now about our kickers and punters. Like Bradley Pinion is one of the best punters in the NFL. Youngway Koo is still one of the best kickers in the NFL. We haven't had to invest time and effort and energy that those guys are losing us games. Think about all of the bad field position that the Falcons have had, and Bradley Pinion has really helped that out. He's helped flip the field multiples of times. And so, again, the fact that we haven't had to worry about a kicker or punter for, you know, decades now, whether it was Matt Bryant or whatever. I mean, who was the guy that we who was the guy Thomas Dimitrov drafted at punter? Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to now see. Now I'm gonna have to because I've said
the dude from Miami.
I've said this before about that he was one of the better draft picks in the Thomas Dimitrov era.
Matt Bosher.
Not Sterling Hoffrick.
Is it with Matt Bosher?
Yes, Matt Bosher. I mean, guys like that, that if you spend a low-round draft pick and hit on them, you didn't have to worry about your kicking game for, I don't want to say a generation, but for a decade plus. That's a big deal when you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Vincent out in Riverdale. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, Chuck, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. How's it going, man?
Man, it's so obvious to state the obvious of the playoffs, man. But I want to go a little bit deeper into it. Yeah, we are a prisoner of the moment. Somebody stole Youngway Koo from me. If it weren't for him, we probably only have 4 wins right now.
Yeah.
I like the DB, his last name. I do not know his first name, man, but he made some excellent plays. Phillips, his last name is Phillips.
Clark Phillips.
Yes.
Not Griswold, not Clark Griswold, but Clark Phillips.
So he's a dog too as well. And I'm just say this, man. I'm gonna give it to Tyler Allgeier, man, because I really feel like if it was just Bijan in the backfield, man, he probably would have just, you know, he would have got discouraged or anything like that. And every time the game went away from Bijan, we had Tyler to fall back on.
You know what's funny too is that if Tyler Allgeier had to carry the load, he would have probably been a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah.
He's almost 700 yards in a reduced role because Bijan's got 203 attempts to the 180 that he's got. But you figure the fact that he probably would be every bit of a, you know, 1,200-yard back. And I don't, you know, again, when you start getting into those kinds of numbers, you start becoming a, you know, 1,100, 1,200-yard back in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Like, that puts you in, you know, some of the top categories. I mean, I'm not telling you it's a Derrick Henry with 1,600, 1,800 kind of yards, but again, those are big-time numbers.
Absolutely. And, well, when you get into a situation where when your coach is over his head, he picks Kyle Pitts, who he doesn't use over Michael Parsons, or he picks Bijan over Jalen Carter, someone that he don't even use. Talk about defense would have been crazy. But thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, look, You know, the draft class looks way better in this year. But again, I don't want to overhype the draft class this year just because give me 3 years and let me see where these guys are. Because again, go back to that 2021 draft class. That draft class is looking pretty thin and pretty meager right about now. Pitts, Richie Grant, Jalen Mayfield, Drew Dahlman. Again, I've said, I think Avery Williams is the most impactful player that's come out of that draft from 3 years ago. All right, Joe Patrick, our Falcons reporter, will join us up next. Chuckery hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Let's go make it. No mojo moves. Wanna do. What's with this home is missing my girl. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery show. Hanging out with you Thursday night. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We've been talking a lot of Falcons here in this first hour. Let's continue the conversation. Let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy, Falcons reporter Joe Patrick. Of course, you can follow Joe on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200. Joe, my friend, as always, I haven't seen you in so long. Oh, yeah, no, it was just a few hours ago in the meeting. But anyway, but it's like, always.
It's in my quarterly appearance showing up in this.
Yeah. Listen.
I'm always out doing stuff.
Always good to have you on the show and always good to have you in the meetings, you know, as well.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, this is not exactly like 2014, but it's close. Because a lot of rumor, you know, if Mike Smith had won his final game against Carolina where they got blown out in 2014, he probably would still be the head coach of this team because that would have been for the division. Both those teams went into that game, you know, whoever was going to win was going to be 7-9 and win the division in that year. You know, a lot of people have talked about, well, Arthur Blank's already made up his mind. I don't buy that. Like, I don't – and because, again, of some of these similarities to 2014. Look, if the Falcons find their way into, no matter what you think their record is or what it should be or whatever, if they win the division and they host a home playoff game, you mean to tell me Arthur Blank's going to fire his head coach?
Well, that's right. And I think that, you know, the one thing that has basically seems to be saving Arthur Smith at this point is the fact that there is this opportunity to win or to get into the playoffs. As slim as it might feel for Falcons fans, and it surely does feel that way, it's there, you know? And right. Crazy things happen on the last week of season, by the way. I was actually just talking, was actually just chatting with Mike Rossi from ESPN, and we were just talking about how just last year, you know, you had the Texans go out there and win it for the Texans win. Now I'm blanking on the coach's name from Illinois. Anyway, and the Bears end up with the number one pick where that, you know, they never would have thought that would have happened. So crazy things can happen here at the end of seasons. And yeah, I mean, I think Arthur Smith's got to be thankful that they still have that opportunity because of how the division shaped up. But gosh, I honestly, Chuck, I've flipped back and forth my mind on how this is going to go. So I got to be honest, when I was up there, I traveled to Charlotte for that game against the Panthers, and man, it felt like a funeral afterwards. Like all the media were stationed up in the press box to go down in the one elevator they have in that stadium, and everybody had to stop while Arthur Blank's posse, and that included Terry Fontenot, made their way down the elevator, and man, they looked glum. And just the way that Arthur Smith was in that press conference and the players, it was devastating. It felt devastating at that time. And then they come back and put together one of, if not the best performance that they've had this year, and kind of showed what this offense can potentially be if you get some competent quarterback play, and they got it in that given game. And so, yeah, I do think that there may be a lifeline for Arthur Smith if they can go out there and put together a good performance and once again show that philosophically what he wants to do with this team can work if they get the right pieces. And I think that there's clearly, you know, we could go into the whole debate, but clearly the gambit that this team made on the quarterback failed. And whether you hold Arthur Smith accountable for that, ultimately that would cost him his job. That's the determination that the decision maker is going to have to face when they come down to this.
So I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Let's say that let's say nothing changes. Let's say Arthur Smith is here to coach next year. I'll argue this. I'll die on this hill. Okay, I'll argue this with anybody that Terry Fontenot is going to have a real decision to make. Do you go the route of trying to find a plug and play guy immediately to be your quarterback and help you try to win games, or do you do what I think is best for the franchise, and that's draft a quarterback in the first round, no matter where you pick? You want to pick 8th, 9th, 10th, you pick 19th if you win the division, whatever it is, you have to find your next young quarterback in the first round. Not third round flyers, not guys that are further down the road. I'm talking about first round talent types of guys. And that's going to be the decision, I think, is that if Arthur Smith is back, do you just try to plug and play, you know, the Ryan Tannehills, and I'm not saying him specifically, but just try to find that veteran that doesn't screw it up, or do you do what's best for the franchise and go get your young quarterback and groom him? And look, most likely, that guy won't work out because that's life in the NFL, but that's the route I think you have to go at some point, is invest that high capital into that position.
Yeah, I tend to agree. There are some teams that are making it work without having done that. Like the Rams are a great example, and Sean McVay has done a great job with Matthew Stafford, really resurrecting his career. But ultimately,
let me just stop for just 1 second, okay? And sure. But this is also the difference. They had a Super Bowl roster, like Jared Goff got them to a Super Bowl, like that. So again, mm-hmm. they had a Super Bowl ready roster that they just needed to upgrade that quarterback. But he got them to a Super Bowl. And I think people, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying, I think some people forget that all of those draft picks worked, the Goffs and the Gurleys and everything. Donald, they got to a Super Bowl. They just needed to get over that hump from there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look at Jared Goff. You know, he's doing really well with the Detroit Lions. And he's kind of also resurrecting his career. And it just goes to show that with the quarterbacks, you know, there's so much that goes into quarterback play outside of just a natural talent. There's a lot of kind of cohesion that has to happen with the play caller and with the offense and the players around him. And if that works, then you can see some of these kind of later career revivals. But to get back to what you were talking about, Chuck, I think that this is exactly like these decisions go hand in hand with one another when you talk about the coach and when you talk about the quarterback and who that's going to be in the future for the Falcons. I think that it makes a lot of sense for the Falcons if you do want to like make that big move and draft a quarterback, which is going to be a lot easier to do if they end up losing this game and they're drafting in that top 10 area. Even if they want to trade up, it may not cost quite as much if they're there as opposed to, you know, if they were further down, if they do end up winning the division. But, you know, I think that if they do want to go that route and get that guy, maybe it's Michael Penix, maybe it's, you know, Drake May, whoever it is, then I think that it makes sense to actually move on from Arthur Smith, because I think that if you draft a quarterback and you keep Arthur Smith, the expectations are going to be immediately that you go to the playoffs. And I think that that doesn't really set that quarterback up for long-term success. Now, could that quarterback be the guy, the plug-and-play option that any other, you know, like a veteran might be as well? Yeah, it could be. You could get a C.J. Stroud-level talent. Even a guy like Bryce Young, I think, could have had a much more successful year this year, and people would be thinking about him a lot differently if he was in a better situation for him to succeed. But he doesn't have playmakers around him. He doesn't have a you know, great coach. You know, so many problems there in Charlotte. But all this goes to say is that you need to kind of have these two pieces really be in simpatico. And so if the Falcons are going to go that option, I think that they would go on and choose a different coach, someone that they feel like could groom that quarterback. But there, you know, that again, that is, there is going to be a price to pay for that. And, you know, maybe I think that if they did just, because I'm with you, I think that they do need to, you know, make a decision at quarterback. This is it seems like a great opportunity to do it with this class and where they're going to be drafting. But, you know, if they didn't want to do that, if they did want to go and potentially sign a Kirk Cousins, a Jacoby Brissett, maybe that would be a better situation to have a veteran head coach that he could give a veteran quarterback guidance. And that would just be a better situation, I think, with the expectations that are going to be on this team next year particularly if Arthur Smith stays. If Arthur Smith is this team's head football coach, nobody's going to be settling for anything less than the playoffs. Now, the expectations are probably going to be high regardless of who the coach is, but I think there would be at least some level of grace if you have a new head coach and potentially a rookie quarterback. That's not going to be the situation if Arthur Smith is probably going to be, if he returns, he's probably going to be the head coach that's most under fire in the NFL, and that's just not the situation you want to have if you're bringing in a rookie quarterback and you kind of want to allow that quarterback to, you know, make some mistakes and learn and progress throughout the course of the season. Because if you do lose, you know, if you lose three of your first five games or something, then the calls are going to be there, and it's just going to be not a situation that is set up for success for the team overall. So I do think that, you know, I don't know what way they're going to go, honestly, at this point. And the other thing, Chuck, and I'm with you, like, they obviously need the quarterback. That's number one. But there are a lot of holes on this roster, and they've, you know, maybe you can fill some of those holes by continuing to do what you did this most recent draft, which with guys like Clark Phillips, Zach Harris, and these third, fourth round picks that can really develop and blossom and become what you hope to be starters. But I just want to kind of put it out that there's, while the quarterback is obviously the most urgent situation for the Falcons team, there's lots of pieces that they need to build on offense and defense.
Well, and I'll say it like this too, you know, and this goes back to a discussion that was at the beginning of the year. The Falcons are still not a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl team. Like, that was the argument about the Lamar Jacksons of the world and stuff like that. Look, they're not a quarterback away. Look, you can bring in Kirk Cousins for $35 million. You can bring in Justin Field where you get 1 year for six, and then you got to go $22 million. And that's, you know, only the last 2 years. You know, if he doesn't work out with his fifth-year option, then, again, what good was trading for him? But, you know, we're not – this roster isn't $35 million quarterback roster away from competing with Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco, even the Rams. I mean, look at how good the Rams have been since they've gotten healthy. We're just not. I mean, again, I like our pieces, but I'm not fooled by the idea of, well, if we just had this and that. Yeah, you've also played the worst schedule in the history of the NFL. Like, again, everything has lined up, and I understand not taking advantage of it. But, again, like, I've talked about this. Joe, you win the division. You find a way to win the division. Guess what? You play a first-place schedule next year.
Yeah.
You won't be playing all the slugs of the world. You'll be playing the Dallases and the Phillies. Start lining us up, this team, against those guys on a week-in, week-out basis of Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. Like, start lining up against those teams every week and see how good you really are then.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go through it. Like, okay, on offense, I think you're going to be in the market for a receiver. I think that's a big need. You need some other, like, faster option that can stretch the field and be a technician on the opposite side of Drake London. Right tackle, I think, is a question mark. Caleb McGarry can be under contract. They can go into the next season with him, but I do wonder if they may try to upgrade there.
Couldn't we have drafted Penei Sewell? Wasn't Penei Sewell available? I forgot. Maybe. He's the highest graded tackle, and he's the highest graded tackle in the NFL. I'm sorry. I just have these flashbacks in Vietnam to, you know, our drafts and stuff. But anyway.
And what do you, like, is tight end a need? Like, I mean, you have Kyle Pitts, but is Kyle Pitts a tight end? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I think that he offers you the most when he's not playing in the tight end role, when he's playing more in the slot or in a more receiver role. And you certainly don't want him blocking. So I think Jonathan Smith is a good tight end, but I'm just trying to make the point that even that Kyle Pitts and the player that he is, I don't even know if he actually is a tight end for you at this point. And so, and you still need that receiver who can stretch the field. So that's just on offense. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, Calais Campbell has probably been maybe your best defensive lineman this year, and he's almost certainly not coming back. If he does come back to play another year in the NFL, he's almost certainly going to go to more of a contender, I would think. I would be shocked at this point if he's back with the Falcons next year. Bud Dupree, you know, a similar kind of, you know, veteran, but you can't count on him for next year necessarily. So that's two guys. You got another, a corner opposite A.J. Terrell you'll need. Richie Grant has kind of proven that, you know, you're going to be in the market for a strong safety. You know, there are lots of pieces that this team still needs. And so that's something that's going to be, have to be factored in by everybody when we're talking about the quarterback situation and just how much you kind of want to sacrifice. And maybe it is worth sacrificing this year and then to hopefully put, you know, build in those pieces later on behind a quarterback who gets kind of his, gets his, you know, blooding, so to speak, this, in this coming year. But man, there's just the future of this Falcons team is really fascinating because it can go so many different ways, both positively and negatively.
Joe Patrick, he is our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game. Follow him on his personal Twitter page at JPatrick200. And he joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Joe, my friend, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for listen, this is where I miss these conversations at night doing sports flashes and stuff like that because, again, we could get really deep into all of this. But I always do thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
I always love coming on and chopping it up with you, man. It's fun, even though it's sometimes painful. It's always entertaining and fun to do. So
well,
thanks for having
me on. I always give you the painful truth. I'm the high priest of the Church of the Painful Truth. So anyway, that's a line from somebody else. But anyway, all right, Joe. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
when
man.
We get back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. One name that is being rumored already, and again, there'll be many of these that could be a replacement for Arthur Smith. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.